Welcome to the Elevation Church Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Ryan Kibbe. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit elevationchurchwisconsin.com.
Good morning. It's not what you know. It's what you do with what you know in the now that affects you then. I want to go after a thought. We've been talking about for the last month or two about living free. How many of you know that by now you know you're free? A few of you. Okay. Theologically, positionally, we know we're free. And we say yes and amen. We're free. Yay. We celebrate the God of impossibilities through what we saw last week. Testimony of a miracle. But there's this other thought I want to drive forward, and that's this. It's if you will, he will, because he already did. You step into what he already promised, and then you receive it by faith. But by faith, we hear the word of the Lord. So faith comes by hearing. Let me be blunt. You will never move in the impossible if you don't know how free and redeemed you really are. So, as I said, it's not what you know. It's what you do with what you know. And I want to read a book of James that I'm going to read it to you. And if you're like me, when I first read this passage of Scripture when I was a wee little lass, I read it full of a particular thought process and lens that really torpedoed me. But I'm going to read this scripture. We're going to start in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 21. And it says, "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness." How many of you feel inspired right now? Isn't that inspiring? Yeah. "In humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls." Okay, it's getting better. I'm liking this. "But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." So, when I first read that, the overall implication and the gravity of that was, I'll never measure up, why even try? And when I would read this, now, I need some honesty in the room and maybe some honesty for those of you who are watching online, but when I read that, how many of you in the room, your first thought process is what you weren't and what you weren't doing right? Raise your hand if that was your first. Just be honest. Raise your hand. It's what I'm not doing right. We got five honest people. Okay, great. No, we have more. Why is that? And I'll tell you why. It's because when we read the Word of God, sometimes we read and we call humility, but it's really false humility. If you're reading the Bible to find out where you don't measure up, you're reading with the wrong lens. If you read the Bible and you allow the Holy Spirit to tell you and define who you are, then you can do who you actually are. That's where I want to kind of start with, because the Bible is not a book of do's and don'ts. It's a revelation of Jesus and who he is. And who he is, we are in this world. We are a mirror image, a reflection of his glory. Well, that's good, preacher. That works on Sunday, but what about my Monday and my Tuesday and all my issues that I face and problems? And you haven't been in the business world and you haven't been around my family and you haven't been around my in-laws and my outlaws. You have not walked through my steps to get from where I am now to to where I'm going then. Then becomes bigger in our world because we want to anesthetize the pain of now. So we don't want to be a hearer. We don't want to be a hearer and not a doer. But okay, I'm going to cut one deep here. I have sat in sermons. I have been given practical, functional wisdom by amazing people of God. And I'm going, yep, that's right. Gave them the Christian move. That's good. That's good. That's good. I've given them a good Christian move. That's what that is, a good Christian move. When you agree and you say, that tastes good. You can do that in this service too. That's okay. You can do that. You can move. Go, pastor, that's good. Preach it. And walk right out the door and do absolutely nothing with what was just said. Anyone done that? Because theologically, I agree, I think I've done. So when Jesus said stuff like, hey boys, heal the sick, cleanse lepers, cast out demons, preach the gospel, forgive a lot. don't partner with an inferior gospel. And we say, you're right, preacher, and go back into, I suck. Hello? How many of you want to live above the doubt line and the snake line? I do. I think there's some practical things in the scripture today that can help redefine who we are. It helps us to see who we are. And here's what I'm after. The seeds of today, the now that we plant, will bear great fruit tomorrow. What would it be like to live not just with miracles of healing? What would it be like for an entire city to collapse under the goodness of God? Because we're doers of the word. We know how to broker our finances. Marriages are back together. Fatherlessness isn't an issue anymore. If you think I'm a pie-in-the-sky dreamer, I might as well resign today, never preach again. Maybe it's just I need to get impressed with the fact that the goodness of God is better and bigger than I can possibly imagine. Maybe I should get impressed with Him and not impressed with what I'm not. So start from that lens. Today we watch football. I'll be watching the Packers destroy the Minnesota Vikings. I'm sorry, all you Viking fans out there. Send all the hate mail to our pastoral team. Insulate me from pain. I have a DVR. About 1:30, I'll catch up. I'll get out of here by 1. I'll go home. Nobody call me. Nobody text me. I will not be looking at my fantasy football scores. I'll be singularly focused. And then by 2:30, I'll catch up. And it's the Packers are dominating the Vikings. Anyway, I say all that to say, Vince Lombardi had a great quote. He said, boys, it's all about fundamentals. We're going to block well. We're going to tackle well. We're going to run well. And we're going to pass well. And at the end of that, we're going to win well. My son was playing football this week. Okay, I just gotta brag. I'm sorry. Don't hate me. But, I mean, they dominated. They've given up like 2 points in two games, and they've outscored their opponents like 50-something to two, whatever. I'm so sorry if you're from the other teams. I apologize. Jesus loves you too. Anyway, but I was impressed with this because what Landon came up to me, verbatim quote, right after the game, and he said, Dad, we don't run a lot of gadget plays. We don't do a lot of fancy stuff. We run well. We block well. We tackle well. And the coaches constantly reinforce the fundamentals. How many Christians do you know that are super impressed with pie-in-the-sky, fringy theology, but they don't want to forgive? Fundamentals. How many people are chasing God from here, there, and everywhere, but God's right there within them, and He's on you, and He wants out, and the more that you partner with what He said, the more He will give you to do. After you steward what He said, He'll give you more to do. Don't look for what God's saying when you've ignored what He said. And what He said is in the Word. I'm all for prophetic words, but if it doesn't line up with the written Word, I have a problem with it, and so should you. So that's kind of the thing about now and then. I had this thought, now, what I do today, now. I mean, people say, well, you know, it's all under the blood, none of it matters. If that's true, then why are the metrics of a city in a region less than godly? What we do matters, would you agree? It's how we get to our due that matters. So I want to start with that thought process. It's not what you know, it's what you know and do in the now. Once upon a time, years ago, I got saved and I went to church, and I was new back in Christ. I was 29 years old. I attended a church here in the Green Bay area. And one of the fundamentals that someone came up and said, you know, it's a real good idea to give, serve, give, you know, the fundamentals, forgive, the fundamentals of the faith. It's really good to do that. So somebody came up and said, hey, you know what? Wednesday night, we need help in the kids area. And I'm not even a dad yet. I'm freshly married to Hope. It's 2001. And they said, oh yeah, we need help in the 1.5-year-old room. And you'll be changing poopy diapers. Yay! Fundamentals. And I'm going, here's what I didn't do. I didn't go, you know, that's not a vision for my life. I don't have that vision resonating deep. That's not a prophetic word that I really want to steward, you know? No, you know what I did? I was out of my gratitude of being so saved, so healed, so delivered, so set free. I was like, sure, why not? And I helped change other kids' poopy diapers. It did help train me for all 4 of mine. And about a year later, my wife, who was serving in the youth ministry at the time, she says, hey, I think you could, you know, help out in the youth ministry. I'm like, okay. And then we moved to Minneapolis. I served there. I get to Minneapolis, and instead of making 30,000 excuses like, well, I'm busy and I cover the Vikings. I actually did cover the Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota. That's why this is interesting. Anyway, worked there at a TV station for 3 years, and the church I attended, I couldn't serve. Some of the things that they asked us to do, I couldn't do on Sunday morning. But instead of making an excuse in the now, I just said yes to what I could do. And they said, well, would you mind, you're kind of a neat guy. Would you go out and share the gospel on the streets downtown Hennepin Avenue with our evangelism team? And I'm like, you want me to do what? Like, what does that look like? Oh yeah, just, you know, go down and share the gospel. Well, they didn't tell me what was on Hennepin Avenue. And there's some interesting people in Hennepin Avenue. And I did that, and I watched God move in incredible ways. I watched, I led a gangbanger to the Lord in North Minneapolis while he's rolling up a marijuana joint, roach clip and all that stuff, and he received Jesus. And I'm like, a guy just got shot there like 5 minutes ago, and I'm thinking, what on God's green earth am I doing here? How many know if you will, he will? I never once for a thought, oh yeah, this is part of God's master plan that I'm going to be a pastor one day. Can I just tell you, every time I just said yes in the now for something then, he was setting me up for my then, but I didn't know it now. There's no way I can say that again. I don't know how to say that again, but you know what I mean. Just play back the sermon. It was the same with giving. I decided, somebody said, yeah, generosity is an expression of who he is, and as he is, so are you. So, you know what? I tithe. I've tithed my whole life. I mean, people merit, they talk about the merits of do it or don't I. It's never been a question. I don't tithe because I have to. I tithe because it's an expression of I want to. I'm not going to browbeat anybody over that. I'm just like Jesus, so are you. You don't have time to fight over things when you're just loving the hell out of people. But you can't love the hell out of people unless you love yourself well. Which goes to my next point. If we want to do what James says, we have to know first who we really are. So that scripture that talks about the implanted word with humility. Sometimes, I think when we hear the word, receive the word implanted with humility, going back to that scripture, receive means to welcome like a feast. Receive the implanted word. So if I say to you, you're generous, and your lifestyle and the fruit of your lifestyle isn't generous, instead of it feeling like a blow to the head, why don't you just receive it like a feast? So if I declare you're generous, would you agree that's the word of the Lord? Would you agree that everyone in this house is generous? Would you agree with me on that? See, theologically, that makes sense, right? Experientially, I'm not going to ask anybody, who in here is not generous? I'm not going to ask you that. But he may ask you that. And the point is that me browbeating you, telling you, you need to be generous, how many of you respond to that? Not many of you. But once you capture the word of the Lord, you receive it and welcome it like a feast, now you've changed your options and those around you. Because now you're expressing who he is. I'm living from an abundance mindset, even though being really real, there's times where I have to make budget decisions. There's times where I'm having to make budget decisions in my house. I mean, can we just talk? Can we talk? I got to get a revelation of that in those moments, not just when I'm preaching to you. What do you believe when all hell breaks loose in your home and your basement gets flooded because Noah's Ark is happening in Green Bay right now? I mean, what do you do? Desi, Scott, what do you do? Fellow basement rain people, sufferers. It's stewarding that word, and then what is in you comes out of you, but you receive the word of who he says. I mean, and this is the other part of it is, when we hear the word preach, as I asked in the beginning, how many of you come from a negative context? Now, let me ask you this. How many of you have this week partnered with God as a doer of the word, and you recognized yourself that you were a doer of the word this very week? If I asked you some tangible thought processes and expressions of Jesus this very week of how you were like him, I'm willing to bet that I could fish for more things that you were like Jesus this week than you weren't, but you'll come up with less than I would if I started asking you questions. Meaning, how many of you encouraged someone this week? Is that a doer of the word? How many of you helped out your family this week? Is that a doer of the word? Are you tracking with me? Start building momentum of what God says about you and allow him to illuminate in your heart, not just the things that need to change, but also celebrate the changes he's already making. Because if you focus on who you're not, you will become what you behold. It's like a man looking at himself in a mirror. Oh, you're still bald. Every way I look at it, I'm still bald. That's a good looking beard there, buddy. I like that. What mirror are you looking at yourself in? What do you see in the mirror? And then on Monday, when you hear me affirm all of what God's saying about you, do you toss it out the window when all hell's breaking loose around you? What am I saying? Start telling yourself what Jesus says about you in his word. And that means you have to see yourself this way. You have to see yourself as Superman. Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ. I can do all things. I can do all things in Christ. Yes, but I'm feeling today a little bit like Clark Kent. Oh, I was so inspired today at church. I was just so inspired, but golly. So here's the problem with that story. We think Clark Kent forgot who he was. Can I just tell you, Superman knew who he was when he was Clark Kent or he had the cape on. Yep. Let that sink in. He knew he was no less Superman when he was Clark Kent. But Supes was his identity. Superman was the man in the mirror. I might just preach with this the rest of the sermon just to do that. I'm feeling kind of... I just want to go, anyway, okay. Receive the word. How many of you are receiving the word and then planning it right now? So the next part of the scripture says, the word is able to save your soul. The word is able to save your soul. So self-talk matters. You know, as I said before, we often treat other people better than we talk to ourselves. So let me ask you a question. When you're talking to yourself and calling out all of the flaws, when you begin to talk to yourself, is that something you would say to Jesus? Wait, just to make you feel better, when he's dealing with you, he's also dealing with me. Let me just tell you, I got some things wrong. The stuff I just preached to you this week, I got wrong in staff meetings this week. Hello. I got to keep my glasses out. It was a Clark Kent moment. Actually, I have my contact lenses on, and when I put this on, y'all are super blurry. I can barely see you. Keep my mirror over here. Looking good. You're preaching good. You're the man. Most of us, this is the thing I want us to understand. God's talking fundamentals. If you want something then, let's go for it now. But use the fundamentals of the faith by looking in the mirror, telling yourself who you really are, then moving on what he just said. That's being a doer of the word. That's saying, okay, Kibby talked this week about talking to yourself. What am I saying to myself? If every other word is I can't, I won't, I'll never measure up, I compare this. Let me explain something. If you are constantly comparing yourself to others, the scripture I just wrote said abide, did it not? It said abide in the law of liberty. That sounds almost contradictory, but the law of liberty, where the spirit of the Lord is freedom. Romans talks about there is the law, but then there's the law of freedom. There's a higher law, which makes me a legalist. And the higher law is that I live by grace, by faith in Jesus. And he empowers me to be Superman in my environment. And here's the kicker, you are too. If you're not Superman, you're Wonder Woman, so get over it. So it's creating, so here's your do. So what you're saying is you're not giving me a list to do's. No, I'm giving you a list to listen to who he says you are, then reflect back to him, like in a mirror, who he says you are, and then your do will rhyme and it'll line up with your who. Does that make sense? Your do reflects who he is. You'll do more. Let me just get blunt. You will do more on accident and see the supernatural, miraculous move of God in your mundane and in extraordinary ways on accident by doing the fundamentals, by declaring who he says you are. That's the fundamentals. Being a doer of the word is active listening to who he says you are. That's your application this week. We start with the standard, abiding in the law of liberty. Let me just pause right there. I think it's easy. I've done it. I've looked at preachers online and go, man, that guy, that woman of God, she preached the house down. And right there, I know you've done this with other people in your business or students or wherever you've been, but that's that moment where you're like, oh, I'm so impressed with that gift. And right there, you have the opportunity to partner with what you're not or to step into your upgrade. It's that thought right there. Take it captive. Step into your upgrade. So when I screw up as a leader, which happens occasionally, I can partner with shame, self-talk, declare that I'm just a pathetic Clark Kent who doesn't know how to do it. Or I can say, wait a minute, I have Superman in me. Wake up call. Now I'm going to act on it. And if I've hurt somebody, I'm not going to wait 15 years. I'm going to go repent right away. I'm going to be a doer of that word. And the more momentum I get in forgiving people, you know what's amazing? I just forgive people better. Isn't that amazing? If I learn how to forgive now, I get better then. If I learn how to give with a buck, I might be able to give with 10 billion bucks. Because I'm a doer of the word with little, I become a doer of the word with much. He who refreshes others will be refreshed. If you're not getting refreshed continuously, I would say it like this. Get a revelation of who you are and start refreshing others and tell them who they are, and you'll get refreshed. This make sense? Part of that, abiding, here's what I've fallen into a trap. Maybe you have too at times. Sometimes I put more emphasis on abounding instead of abiding. Like I want the abundance, but I don't want to abide. I mean, the truth is we're all in Christ. We're all connected to him. So there's no distance and separation. We're totally connected to him. It's just sometimes I forget to look in the mirror and go, I'm connected. I read the Word of God, and it mirrors what I need to know. And what I've learned over the years is the way I read the Word of God, it's not just the Word of God. If the Word of God changed everything, then the Pharisees would have never, they would, if it was just about just the written Word of God, the Pharisees wouldn't have been in a stupor most of their time when they encountered Jesus. They couldn't see him clearly. They didn't have the right lenses on. They couldn't see it. What I'm saying to you is, the way you self-talk, when you go into reading scripture, when you pull counsel, you've got to learn to see everything through the lens of who he says you are. Totally forgiven, totally redeemed. So when you miss it, you don't go into a ditch and your do gets worse and worse and worse. Okay? I was talking to a saint yesterday, does not go to our church. My son is hanging out at his house. He's like, you know, he was telling me he goes to a great church and here in town. And I said, yeah, I know the pastor, great church. And he said, you know, I went for a year straight, just went for a year straight. Man, and I was doing it, and he goes, then life just happened and I just stopped going. So we began to I just sowed a little seed. And I said, do you think going to church is the end game for the normal Christian life? And he paused. You see it? Coming up, sitting here, listening to me preach, agreeing, disagreeing, whatever. Because there may be times I'll just offend you. I'm not trying to. I might say something that's offensive. Heaven forbid. But the provoking thought is, I have to see it, and I have to see it solid in the mirror and go, is God asking me to change the way I think about myself in this situation? And what he saw when I confronted it was, you know what? It's not just about going to church. It's not just about serving. It's not trying to get God to move because I do. It's because he did at the cross everything for me. And in response to that, I step into right now immediate obedience, which brings incredible supernatural momentum down the road, both in the here and the now and then. Don't tell me that our decisions, yes, there's grace, but can I just tell you, we all make decisions that affect our here and the now and affect generations. Now let's flip it positively, because sometimes we go negative. What would it be like for an entire city to awaken to their authentic identity in Christ? What would that be like? So if you're starting to speak and declare over who you are, now you bring invitation to everyone else about who they are. Can you imagine? I'm not saying we'd put counselors totally out of business, but we would, I'll tell you what, our counselors wouldn't have to work as hard. Agreed? There'd be less, you know, anyway, I don't want to, you get what I'm saying. I'm thinking about closing. I think this abiding thing, I'm not going to get into too much, but for me, abiding is practical. For me is when the warning light goes off inside and it says, I'm partnering with a lie. There's this thing, you hear God better than you think. And there's this thing that goes off inside of you. That's when I talk about this mirror. It's what James is talking about. It has the power to save your soul. It has the power. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So in humility, receive the word. Welcome it like a party, has the power to save your soul. If it doesn't line up with what he says, ask him for the power to do what he says. Because excuses are the enemy of your destiny. I'm learning this every day, but I have to look in the mirror and go, okay, this is what God says. And when I look at scripture, I can't gloss over the uncomfortable parts. Jude, if you read the book of Jude, there's some uncomfortable things. Go read the book of Jude. It's like one page. There's some uncomfortable topic. It just doesn't make you, and he's talking about, Paul says, contend for the faith, contend for the faith. Well, part of the faith is letting God let us wrestle with the uncomfortable parts of Christianity that need to adjust. I mean, we have to actually receive all of it, not partial. You know, sometimes we just like to pick and choose what we want to hear. Does that make sense? You got to look in the mirror and go, okay, that looks impossible. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can forgive. I can't do these fundamentals. But that's in those moments where God will send the word. The word of the Lord may come through the text, may come through the Bible reading, may come through a word of wisdom, through a counselor or a friend. You've got to learn to pay attention to the whispers of God in your everyday life. And here's another one. That boss that is ticking you off, I'm going to be really real. I've had some of the most profound life-altering words from the Lord from the donkey that just talked to me. I mean the boss. But I had a word for him in my head. Donkey? But my whole life changed because the word of the Lord came through someone I didn't expect. I want you to stand. Here's what I think I've done, maybe you've done, is we like to anesthetize pain. We like to say, you know, it's just better to escape and believe and agree than to actually do. I've seen this over the years. I've seen Christian bullies hide behind the text of the word and browbeat everyone around them with the word of the Lord and speaking truth, but they don't have a revelation that they're Superman. And so what they do as an escape, it's actually an addiction. They'll move into the text and they'll spend 50 years trying to figure out the hermeneutical, psychological, exegetical connotation of Leviticus and how it applies from the brazen altar to this and that. And they'll spend hours and days, and as soon as they're done, they'll go and yell at their wife, treat their boss like garbage. They won't serve anything. Why? Because it's easier to blame shift. It's easier to move the pain to somewhere else. You don't have to let the word deal with you practically. The fundamentals of the faith in the here and the now. Get the fundamentals down and watch God move in impossibilities. That's freedom. That's freedom. I'm not free to do just whatever I want. I'm free to do what's right in Him. Amen? Ministry team, come forward. The plane has landed. Ministry team, come forward. Pastor Aaron, you said earlier you were hearing healing. You have anything you want to share? Healing, though, is what you heard. Okay. Well, how many of you know God's always in a healing mood? See, that's the word of the Lord. What happens is we don't see the outcome of that, and the tension in the room right there is to partner with mystery and just say, well, it's just mystery. How many of you know today is the day of your salvation? What's her name, Rosie? I asked her. Creative working miracle, stage 4 cancer, gone. You know what? That's amazing. But here's the other side of the story. I said, how many times did you get prayed for? Countless. How many times do you have to deal with the offense when it didn't happen? Countless. She chose the word of the Lord, which was bigger than her current contradiction. I want to encourage you to do that. I want you to encourage, press in, whatever it is. I want you to close your eyes right now, and I want you to get a vision of what God says. I want you to get a vision of all of the impossibilities that can bow at His name. I got to put my Superman hat on. What adjustments is the Lord speaking to you right now to see the increase later? What adjustment right now He's speaking to you? In your mind's eye, He's talking to you. What adjustments? The next one to think upon. What you may call patience is heaven calling that procrastination. Are you waiting too long? Is He speaking to you about moving now so that it affects your then? What are you doing that you're putting off to the next season that needs to happen now? Holy Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name that we do everything you say and leave the consequences to you. Holy Spirit, I pray that this congregation, that these people of God and those online, that they would press in and do everything you say and leave the consequences to you. Jesus did everything you said. He walked through unpleasant circumstances. He tells us that we're going to live a life that isn't always pleasant, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Implant that in your soul and watch him work his wonders. And everybody said, amen. If you need healing emotionally, physically, financial healing, you just need to receive Jesus, which is always a good idea. How many know receiving the gift of salvation and saying yes to the finished work is the greatest miracle of all? We get to spend eternity with him. If you need to have prayer for anything, you need an encouraging word, come see these people. This week, we have a lot to establish. What is that tip? What is that one practical app? There's an app for this. What app is God going to ask you to do from what you've just heard? Amen? See you Tuesday at Rick's thing and Wednesday on our equip nights. God bless.
Be sure to visit ElevationChurchWisconsin.com for other exciting new content from Elevation Church.